Welcome to the WBFO Press Pass. I'm Mark Scott, joined by Buffalo Spree editor Elizabeth Licata.
Hey, Mark.
How are you?
I'm great. Are you enjoying the hot summer?
Oh, immensely. It's, you know, I wish we had more rain, but I'm not complaining about the heat.
No, neither am I.
Our topic is the 53 things every Western New Yorker must do. Now, even before the August issue came out, I had been following a similar series in the Buffalo News, but I immediately knew yours was going to be different when I turned the page to the first entry. And it was C-Bar's Beef on Weck Sushi.
Right. Well, you know, with our food choices, my two food writers, Liz Schumer and S. Esmer, they kind of wanted to go in a different direction, especially Liz. Instead of doing Beef on Weck, let's do Beef on Weck Sushi. And she did like a little different sort of chicken wing place. And so we just kind of like, yes, a Buffalo tradition, but with a twist because we can.
So the list is divided into five categories,
right.
And one of them is food.
Yes, there is food, sights, experiences, day trips, and things you won't find in the Visit Buffalo Niagara Guide.
Number two on your list is listen to great music at the Sportsman. Now, I can count that as something I've done. And as part of that entry, you profile Willie Nile, the musician who has performed with my favorite rocker, Bruce Springsteen.
Yes, Willie Nile is Buffalo's own. He comes back here frequently. He's very popular. I used to work with his former wife when I worked at the Castellani.
Oh.
And they, you know, lovely kids. And so he's really sort of a Buffalo must-see himself.
Yeah, he definitely is.
Yes, although he's not here, but he's here enough.
You wrote about number four on the list, the J.N. Adams Hospital in rural Perrysburg, which is in Cattaraugus County. Looking at these photos that accompanied your article, the architecture appears to be amazing. And couldn't this
beautiful.
Be reused somehow?
The architect is Coxhead, who did the Delaware Avenue Baptist Church and several other buildings. I think it's a problem because there is split ownership. The city still has a stake in it because, unusually, it was actually founded by a Buffalo mayor. You may know
the
some of
the city of Buffalo. You're
yes,
saying, wow.
Yes,
okay.
And none of the parties involved in its ownership, since it stopped being a center for the developmentally disabled a couple decades back, I believe, that was its last use. It was first a tubercular hospital, and they just can't decide. No one, and it's kind of in the middle of nowhere. That's the problem.
Yeah.
A big developer has not stepped up to do anything interesting with it. I can see it being a wonderful resort. The only thing, I think there was a proposal to demolish it so that a logging company could set up there. I think that was one of the last reuses I heard about. And I've asked Preservation Buffalo Niagara, and there may be some talk starting about it. It would be nice to see something done with this complex.
What I love about the list is its quirkiness. For instance, I've always been intrigued by the small motels on Niagara Falls Boulevard. I wonder how they remain open and who would want to stay there when you have the large chain hotels and motels that dominate the market. And sure enough, there it is at number nine.
Yes. Well, I think people looking for low-cost living, people who don't have a place to stay or an apartment, and they offer pretty cheap weekly rates.
Okay.
So there's they're just not as expensive. And there's always people who want, for example, my brother-in-law, even though he could afford to stay at a fancy hotel, never does, always stays at a cheap motel because he figures he's going to be out of the motel most of the time. So there's those people as well.
Number 17 on the list is Connors in Angola, where former Buffalo News editor Margaret Sullivan visits on her return home for a char-broiled hot dog in Loganberry. Now, you write about her, and I've personally admired Margaret Sullivan since she was writing a column in the news back in the 1980s. I think she's a truly remarkable journalist.
I would see her when I used to be a stringer, when I used to write art reviews, and she was the features editor. And obviously, she's a remarkable journalist. You can see the path that her career has taken, and it's in a field where it's not so easy to get ahead. You know, it's with all the layoffs that we have, Margaret has really has an incredible career, and so we're very proud of her.
Her column in the New York Times and now in the Washington Post, must read for me.
Yes,
brings
absolutely.
Great perspective. It wasn't until you got to the sites category that I was truly able to start checking things off. So a lot of those items are things many of us have done.
Yes. Well, we could have. I mean, the thing is, when I approached this, I thought, well, this, I just can't do the same list that everyone does. But on the other hand, people love these lists, even if they can anticipate that they have done most of them. This has gotten, we just posted on Facebook a link to our website, which only had a sample of only four things. And we've gotten thousands and thousands of hits on it and hundreds of shares because people, this is something that people want to see. And that's why the news did their list. And that's why a lot of city regional magazines continue to do these lists year after year.
Well, it's fun. I mean, even I counted what I've done, and I've done 23.
Well, that's pretty good.
I'm most disappointed by the fact, and I think we've talked about this before, that I have never been to the top of City Hall, even though I've been in there dozens and dozens of times over my career.
I've been there twice. Once when we went to get our marriage license, and the second time with a tour that we took with our Spree staff. And it's a tour I recommend to anyone. It was a wonderful tour, and we looked at other aspects of City Hall, but we wound up at the top, and it was fantastic. And I just want you to know our cover photograph is actually taken from a drone. It's the only way that you could get that close and see those details at the very top of City Hall.
It is a remarkable
the beautiful
photo.
Colors,
I'm looking
yeah.
at it right now, and right, the colors, and I've never seen those before because you can't get
you
that
can't
close.
You can't get that close.
On to some other articles that you wrote about in the August issue. One is the East Aurora Farmers Market. At a time when just about every community has a farmers market, what makes this one so special?
Well, it's very charming. It's located in their little plaza, and it's surrounded by beautiful hanging baskets and flowers, and it's nicely set up. It's very neat, and there's lots of fun things in addition to produce. However, that being said, now is the time to really explore. I don't think the farmers markets really come into their own until August and September, so definitely now is the time to visit, and it's they're all special because they provide a nearby amenity that people in East Aurora can walk to. So they don't have to get in their cars and go to Elmwood Bidwell or Clinton Bailey. Or, you know, it used to be that you only had like three big farmers markets, but we're increasingly seeing smaller regional markets. And that's what's important about it and the others.
You also wrote about corn.
Yes.
This weekend was the Eden Corn Festival. I was surprised to learn from that article that corn is tastiest if you get it on the heat within a half hour of buying it.
Absolutely. And the same thing with peas, fresh peas. Absolutely the same thing. You really, the Native Americans actually would have fires set up and kettles on there, and to if they wanted to eat. Of course, they had a lot of other uses for corn. They dried it mainly and used the meal from it, but they wanted to have fresh corn. That's the way they did it. The sugar is turned to starch within an hour and a half.
Really?
So you just have to keep that in mind, and that's why I offer in there an alternative way of cooking it with milk, and sometimes people add butter to that milk that brings back some of that sweetness.
Finally, you write about a public art installation at the Tift Farm Nature Preserve, and what's that all about?
Well, it's really fun. It's Roberly Bell, and she's an artist who shows nationally and internationally, but also is based here in Western New York. And her sculpture is always kind of fun, and I hate to use the word whimsical, but I know that our listeners will know what I mean. But it also has a point. It takes off on, in the Tift installations, take off on the images, the idea of nature, but also the fact that, you know, there's cages around it. Like, you have to put cages around the trees so that the other natural inhabitants of the preserve won't eat the trees, thus defeating the purpose of the whole preserve, which is meant to preserve these inhabitants as well. So it's kind of a paradox, if you will. So she's kind of playing with the idea of you kind of have to kind of tame and control nature in order to maintain an amenity like the Tift Preserve.
Elizabeth, as always, thanks for coming in.
Thank you so much, Mark.
Elizabeth Licata is editor of Buffalo Spree. Mark Scott, WBFO News.